Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today's message comes from the Gospel of Matthew, as you heard a few moments ago. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this past week we had a funeral, and I ended up driving with one of the funeral home workers to and from Steinbach for the committal. So we had plenty of time to chat in the car. And as we were talking about many things, one of the things that came up was history. Now, if you spend enough time with me, for this man it only took one car ride, you might find out that history was probably my least favorite subject in school. Often because the way that it was presented, at least to me, is just so boring. That's not to say that I don't appreciate it, because as you drive up to the cemetery like we did, it is full of history. The past, those who have been there for a while. The present, the reason that you're there. And the future, as you have names of people on gravestones that are still alive. And you can just walk around and see the history of families, the different names, how many family members there are, how far back they go, how old they were, how long of a life they lived, or how young they were when they passed away. And for some, the tragedy of not even living to their first birthday. So today, it's only fitting that we look at some history. Some family history of the most important family that we can look at. Now, some of you might find it quite interesting because you like genealogies. You like tracing your family as far back as you can, seeing what countries are all part of your lineage, seeing how many generations you can trace it back to. Some of you might find it boring. Especially if you look at this long list of genealogies and it's just this person had this person who had this person and on and on and on. Some of you might be adopted and you don't know anything about your family history. Or maybe you are adopted and you've looked up your birth parents and your lineage because you never knew them. As you look at the first chapter of the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, you see the family history of Jesus. Now, if you were to flip to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, you'll see the family history goes all the way back to Adam. Matthew only takes us to Abraham. Now, God's Word doesn't include these genealogies just for us to skip over them, because you think it's boring to read verse after verse as to who gave birth to who, which is possible. You may have zoned out a little bit when I was reading it today. I won't tell you how many yawns I saw. One of the purposes that we can see as to why they're included and which specific people are mentioned is because it shows us how God worked through all of the generations, starting with Adam and Eve. It's about the promise of the Savior coming through the lineage of specific people that God had promised the Messiah would come through. And it's also about how God worked through people that were not the most God-fearing, not the most law-abiding, not the most on fire for Him, perfect cookie-cutter followers. It's about how God worked through sinful people and their sinful actions to bring about His plan of salvation. I want you to remember that in this genealogy, in this family history of Jesus, our Savior, God worked through sinful people and their sinful actions to bring about His plan of salvation. And we'll highlight a few of them. So we start with Abraham. Or as we might know him, Father Abraham, right? Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. Sing with me. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. I was wondering if somebody's going to keep going. And the reality of Abraham is the song actually could go like this. Father Abraham could not have sons because his wife Sarah was barren. And so he had a son with Sarah's servant Hagar. But as you heard in the Old Testament reading of Genesis, God had promised Abraham that he will make him into a great nation, that he will be a blessing, and that in him all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And as we learn later, this was going to happen through Abraham and Sarah. But in their waiting and waiting and waiting to have a child who would make him into a great nation, they ran out of patience. As they were already well beyond their childbearing years. And so they put God's promise in their own hands. And to that, God said, no. And eventually, he did open up Sarah's womb, and she gives birth to Isaac. And then Isaac and Rebekah have Jacob and Esau. And Jacob, who is the younger son, finds himself in this genealogy, which usually belongs to the oldest. Because, well, he swindled his brother's birthright with a pot of soup, and he stole his father's blessing that was supposed to go to his older brother Esau through deception by dressing up as his brother with his mom's help. Now, of course, that favor is returned to Jacob when he is tricked into marrying Leah, when in fact he was supposed to have married Rachel, whom he loved. But God worked through the lack of Jacob's love because Leah gives birth to Judah. And well, Judah, who is the one who was the promised Savior was going to come from of all of the sons of Jacob, well, Judah, he slept with who he thought was a prostitute. But it was really his widowed daughter-in-law, Tamar, who tricked him because he wouldn't give his other son to her in marriage like he had promised he would. And then when she got pregnant from that affair, he was going to have her put to death until he found out that it was his child. Speaking of prostitutes, Rahab was a prostitute, and a Gentile prostitute at that. She was a foreigner, and she was from the city of Jericho, the city that fell. Yet her and her family were kept safe because they helped the Israelites, and she becomes a part of this lineage. And King David, well, he slept with another man's wife. And when she got pregnant and ended up having that husband killed in war to cover up his own sin. And then he took her as his wife. And they eventually had Solomon. It's quite interesting that if you notice that she's not named as Bathsheba, rather as the wife of Uriah. As you see, God worked through sinful people and their sinful actions to bring about his plan of salvation. God can use anyone. Prostitutes, adulterers, murderers, to accomplish his purposes. And that specific purpose was bringing the Savior into the world, Jesus Christ. And even through the worst of sinners, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You look at Jesus' family tree, and you will see that there are some lemons, there's some nuts, and there's a few bad apples. And this is where you'd sing again, I am one of them, and so are you. And that's exactly why Jesus came. Because I am one of them. A sinner, a murderer, an adulterer, a liar, a thief, a cheat, one who takes my life out of God's hands and does whatever I want. Because sometimes God is slow in fulfilling his promises to me, slow in keeping his word to me, slow in answering my prayers, like we talked about last week. And so rather than me waiting on God, I'm going to play God myself. And when I play God myself, I always, always lose. Whenever I play God, God says, no. And when I try to make excuses for my sins, like, well, God, I was just having a bad day. I didn't mean to take your name in vain. All of those times. God, I was just in this moment of weakness. I didn't mean to look at all those women in a lustful way. Or God, all those people said all of those terrible things about me. And so I am right to hate them for that. I am right to want to get my revenge on them, to wish the worst for them. And to that, God says, no, you're not right. You're not justified. You're wrong. And you're weak because you're a sinner. And then you know what God does? He sends Jesus. As Romans says, in my sin, while I was a sinner, while I was weak, while I was stuck, while I was trapped in sin, Jesus died for me at the right time. You talk about the family tree of Jesus. At the right time, that specific branch from Abraham all the way to this Virgin Mary, who will give birth to Jesus, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, the only one ever born of one human parent and a virgin at that. He is the sinless Son of God, fully man, yet fully God. He is the one who was promised immediately after Adam sinned, who would crush the serpent's head. And this is exactly what he did when he went to the cross for us, where he died for all of our sins, all of our adultery and our murder and our lies and our stealing and our hatred and our disobedience. Whereas we are conceived in sin, wrapped in sin because we are conceived from two sinful parents, Jesus didn't come wrapped in sin. He came wrapped in swaddling cloths, born of the Virgin. But what he does is he wraps himself in our sin. He took the sins of the world, your sins and mine, on himself. And he became our atonement, our sacrifice, giving up his life, taking what we deserve for our sins, that being death and condemnation and hell. Jesus took hell for us, not because we are worthy of him doing it, because there isn't any good in us, but because of his incredible love for us, and because he knew that it was the only way to rescue us, to save us from sin and death. And in his resurrection from the dead, he proved that he defeated sin, death, and the devil once and for all. His resurrection opens the door to eternal life. And it is through his death and his resurrection that all families on the earth are blessed. Jesus is our ultimate blessing. And this family, his family, is the most important family there is. And this family is not one that is connected in the traditional way through a family tree. Though we do all go back to Adam and Noah and Father Abraham, we are connected by birth. We're connected by new birth in the waters of baptism, where God calls us by name as his own dearly loved child, bringing us into his family, into his kingdom, by faith. Faith that also makes us part of God's family. And faith comes from hearing the word. Now, part of my prayer as I prepare the message is that these words that you hear, God blesses these words. That these are His words, not mine. And that these are His words to bless His people. And we are also all connected as a family, as His people, by blood. Christ's blood, which He poured out for us on the cross, and which He pours out for us in His supper, in the wine, along with His body in the bread. The word, baptism, the Lord's Supper, these are Christ's means of grace. And these are ways that Christ blesses us with forgiveness, life, and salvation. In the same way, He gives us forgiveness, life, and salvation through His death and resurrection. And as He blesses us, He leads us so that we can be a blessing to others. Not so that we can curse others, but so that we can bless others. And when we do curse others, which we do from time to time, when we do not look out for their best interest, when we do not desire the best for them, God leads us to repentance. He leads us to His forgiveness. He leads us to remember the font. He leads us to His supper. He leads us to His word. He leads us to the cross, and He leads us to the empty tomb. These means of grace. And for those who come up for the Lord's Supper, just to receive a blessing, you might know this, that the words I'll say to you is, I will say, the Lord bless you and may you be a blessing to others. Now, just because most of you don't hear those words spoken to you because you're receiving the sacrament, doesn't mean that they don't apply to you. And in fact, it's more like, because you are receiving Christ's body and blood in faith, you will be a blessing to others. For all of us, in faith, we become His means. We become His voice. We become His tools to share the Word of God with the world. And then through us, families of the earth shall be blessed. What an incredible gift, blessing it is to know that you are a blessing for God because He uses you. Just like the genealogy we saw today, God worked through sinful people and their sinful actions to bring about His plan of salvation. Through Abraham, all generations would be blessed. Because from His line we get Jesus, who dies and rises for all nations, for all families, for all people. And through you, others will be blessed as well. And when you become a thing of the past, when you become history, you can know for certain that God worked through you to bring about His plan of salvation. Because you, in sharing His word with others, they will be brought to faith by the Holy Spirit, and thus they will be saved. Because God can use even sinners saved by Him, like me, like you, to accomplish His purposes, so that every generation, as you look at your family's genealogy, that every one of them will find their names written in God's book of life, in His family tree, and that those branches will keep extending, keep growing, and more people are brought into faith, brought to the waters of baptism, brought to His supper. More people blessed with the greatest blessing of Jesus Christ. This is the most important family there is, and by faith, it is your family, and it is your family for all eternity. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, Guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.